Good afternoon, David Winters, Mountain Lakes, New Jersey. Thank you again for hosting the Berkshire Weekend. It's just great. Interest rates are the lowest they've been, and I think equity values in aggregate are still high. Berkshire has meaningful free cash flow, a short duration bond portfolio, and you're a buyer of low multiple, high quality private businesses and a few stocks. Assuming that the stimulative economic policies to deal with the recession eventually cause interest rates to go up and maybe equity values to come down, Berkshire seems very well positioned to benefit. Would you comment? And also, are there any concerns on both of your parts about investors inadequately understanding the conglomerate structure of Berkshire and then therefore improperly pricing the shares?
Well, to answer the second question first, we hope the latter wouldn't be true because we do our best to explain it. I mean, I used 14,000 words in the last annual report, which caused certain members of my family to ask whether I was getting paid by the word. We want you to understand Berkshire, and I hope that comes through. That's why we have these kind of meetings. That's why we spend a lot of time writing an annual report. We try to tell you what we would like if the position was reversed and if our positions were reversed. And we think that the information in the annual report, if read by somebody, that they have to have some understanding of business and accounting, but if they don't, nothing is going to help really in terms of helping them with the business. But we think if they have some understanding of it, we have given them the information that Charlie and I would need in order to come up with our rough ideas of the valuation of Berkshire, and we hope we get across what it's all about. There are a lot of companies in Berkshire, but it's not important that you understand the nuances of every single one. Looking at what happens in aggregate in many cases will be sufficient. In terms of how we're positioned, we have $16 billion of cash, not because we want $16 billion of cash or because we expect interest rates to go up or because we expect equities to go down. We have $16 billion of cash because we don't see anything that makes us want to part with that cash where we feel we're getting enough for our money. But we would spend it, we'd spend it Monday morning on the right sort of business, or even if we could find equities that we liked, or if we could find, like last year, we found some junk bonds we liked. We're not finding them this year at all because prices have changed dramatically. So we're not really ever positioning ourselves. We're simply trying to do the smartest thing we can every day when we come to the office, and if there's nothing smart to do, cash is the default option. Charlie?
In terms of future opportunities, the issue is it at all likely that there'll be an opportunity like 1973-4 or 1982 even, when equities generally are just mouthwatering? I think there's a very excellent chance that neither Warren or I will live to see either of those occasions again. If so, Berkshire's not going to have a lot of no-brainer opportunities. We're going to have to grind ahead the way we've been doing it recently, which is not all bad.
It's not impossible that we'll get some mouthwatering opportunities. I mean, you just don't know in markets. It's unbelievable what markets do over time. And since you brought up interest rates, in Japan, the 10-year bond is selling to yield 5/8 of 1%. 5/8 of 1%. I don't think there's anybody in our annual meeting of 20 years ago, certainly including Charlie and myself, who would have dreamt that a 10-year bond of a country, running a significant deficit would be selling at 5/8 of 1%. I mean, would you say so, Charlie?
Would I ever? But strange things happen.
Strange things happen.
But if that could happen in Japan, something much less horrible for the investing class could happen in the United States. It's not unthinkable. I mean, we could be in for a considerable period when the average intelligent diversified investor in common stocks using fancy paid advisors just doesn't do very well.
But you can argue that if what we warned against and hope doesn't happen with derivatives should happen, it might create enormous opportunities for us in some arena. I mean, you know, that we wouldn't be good. It might very well turn out to be good for us if you get chaotic markets. You had a somewhat disorganized market in junk bonds last year because there were a lot of them created much faster than the funds available to absorb them were coming in. Now this year you have just the opposite situation. You have money pouring into the junk bond funds, $1 billion a week roughly, and that's changed the whole price situation. The world hasn't changed that much. It's just that the chaos has left the market for those instruments.